1.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program, brought to you by Revelation Radio Network. Tonight on this Monday, 9 to 11, we're here tonight, Eastern Standard Time every Monday, and welcome. Family, tonight I'm going to talk about what's really behind the scenes of what's going on today. But a lot of people don't want to hear about it. What do you do about that? What do you do about when in one place they've got the Child Euthanasia Act being played out in Belgium? That's the model for the world. Yeah, for the world. Yeah. And then you've got the International Rights of the Child, and the UN's working on it, to control children in the world, that they'll take control. I didn't say offer help. I said take control of your children worldwide. Yeah. Then you're talking about legalizing marijuana. Then you're talking about the death penalty that's looking really bad to keep it and so forth. You're looking at the Malaysia flight and all these things. The funny part is, and I'm meaning fun and peculiar, is that it's all connected. Every bit of it's connected to the worldwide revolutionary plan. Everything is connected. To councils, committees, Illuminati. And they have five objectives that they discuss and talk about while everybody else is out playing golf or watching race cars go around the track 500 times. And then somebody does a flag and say, you won, and then they celebrate and you go home. You know, they do that, what, gosh, maybe 100 times a year. In the meantime, they're preparing to take you all out. They've been preparing it for a long time. The only one's been holding it back has been no man, no country, except those that's prayed to Jesus Christ, that's been obedient. And don't take that many. Where the laws reflected the laws in the Bible, has kept the veil of his veil around those obedient to his word, the few. But here's the problem. The problem is, the situation is, the more you go against his word, change the laws of the land against the Bible, biblical principles, slowly but surely, every law that we've got in the Constitution was designed to follow the Bible at first, with the plans to subvert it generations later. But now they're at the point to where the population will accept it. How do they do that? By education, philosophy, the science, the arts. Seven areas they've covered, economics, finance, that they've controlled. And people just run away, don't want to know about it. What can I do about it? Well, there's plenty of people can do. People are doing something about it. Car can't move when one or two tires are removed. It may not destroy the whole car, but a couple spokes out of the wheel makes it weak. They got to have all their spokes in the wheel. They got to have all their dominoes in a stack lined up or whatever. But there's coming a time real soon that the laws of the land are going to go opposite of what the Bible says. And when the laws of the land go against the Bible, God's not going to put up with that, because all government is ordained by God. The people involved, the individuals, might not be of God, but the laws of the land reflect it. And that's exactly what our Constitution has done. And they set it up that way. They, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, they set up our Constitution. They had to. For the liberty sound, to placate us. Now, all I'm telling you here is documented. Everything I tell you is documented. Because they knew that's how they're going to placate the American public. That's how Constantine placated the Christians by saying he's a Christian, set up the first pope, and the Vatican, pagan as they can only be, covered over with pseudo-principles of Christianity to placate the Christians, but subvert it underneath. In other words, the Roman Catholic Church is just a cover for paganistic beliefs. Every single holiday is proven to be pagan. What they've done is modernized paganism. That's what I'm going to talk about tonight, how that's been done. And these are facts. Now, some of y'all are not going to like it. May not even stick around. I don't know. But you're going to get the cold, hard facts. And now, they've hidden under the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican. They're going to reveal their paganistic background to their own Roman Catholics in the very near future. It's called a re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church. It is coming. Now, while I'm talking, before you get all flustered, I advise you to check out Teilhard, T-E-I-L-H-A-R-D, small d, little e, D, Chardin, C-H-A-R-D-E-I-N, Chardin, a Jesuit priest of the Roman Catholic Church, is the father of the New Age movement. The mother of the New Age movement is Helena Blavatsky. Set up the paganistic religion that's yet to happen. Started with her, as she was led by the hierarchy to set it all up. And you say, well, what's that got to do with what you talked about at first, all those events? They're using all these events, all these disciplines, every education facility in America, as I talked about today in my regular broadcast, proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the entire education system worldwide, specifically the United States, is based on the humanistic curriculum since 1908. It always has been. It is today. It hasn't stopped. Never changed. The education system is how they've indoctrinated us to accept this generation by generation, and they chip away each generation. They plan way ahead. The civil rights movement, for example, was planned beginning in the 1600s. Now, I've explained Tyler's 8-step program before, from 8 steps, 250 years, 8 steps to dictatorship. That's how they do it. You always put a country in, or a culture or country or individual even, but a culture in bondage of some kind depends on the culture. And then they go through 8 steps. I'm not going to cover that tonight. But 8 steps, it covers a 250-year period. Each generation is tested. Are they ready for the next step? You see how this is so controlled, contrived, designed, created? Until people can understand this, they're never going to solve it. They're just going to go around circles, have discussion groups, and do debating, and nothing will happen. Second Chronicles 7:14 is the actual answer. But you think the Joint Chief of Staff have the intelligence to do that? No, they do not. Because they're Freemasons. They're Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. Roman Catholic, Christian identity. It's all mixed together. Everything's mixed together. Just because they pretend to be opposite isn't so. It's called the dialectic. They have, since the beginning of time, and certainly after Nimrod, after God destroyed their plans, Nimrod then was the next one they're going to use, they have started controlling as technology and processes and humans increased in numbers, control 7 specific areas, and they call them ashram rays. Education, worldwide, forever. Philosophy, religion, all religions, every, including Christianity, has been used to subvert mankind. And different layers, different levels, different flavors, from Satanism to Christianity. And this is a fact, absolute fact. Christianity, through the Roman Catholic Church, has been designed to subvert and turn away from the truth about Jesus Christ. And the King James Bible later, of course, before that it was put into seclusion in the Alps, but for the entire duration of the Dark Ages. That's exactly why they called it the Dark Ages. That was the reason why. And before that, it was in Antioch, and they were collecting the copies of copies and the actual manuscripts from the disciples and the apostles and the prophets collected in Antioch. That's the King James Bible. Irrefutably, is the only true one. And nobody ever has shown otherwise. They try, but they fail every single time. The Jerusalem Bible is junk. Jerusalem Bible, NIV, Septuagint, Apocrypha, all of them have a history that you can identify. They're trying to put off the Septuagint. It's junk. And the Apocrypha, both of them created or manufactured by Origen, or I-G-E-N, a Greek philosopher in ancient Egypt, Alexandria Library in the second and third century. 200-300 years after Jesus Christ. So they've controlled worldwide education, philosophy, religions, all of them. Science. All science, all science, art, as acting and painting and dancing, everything, art, politics, that goes without saying, and finance. In councils, committees, meeting every year, supernaturally, secularly, taking the royal families and using them to promote their agenda, in all those areas. All God wants us to do is worship Him and help each other. That's it. But Satan has complicated, to say the least. And now we have today modernized paganism. I've got an Illuminati textbook. So they have their information out there. It's just not publicized. And I've been using that to decipher their planning. You see, some of their textbooks, the Signs of Christ, S-I-G-N-S, Signs of Christ, by Harold Balios, 1977. Atlas Shrugged, by Ayn Rand, for example. Tragedy and Hope, by Carol Quigley. Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike, a Freemason and a pagan and a Luciferian. Could speak 16 languages, but wasn't because he was smart. It's because he was channeled and possessed like Hitler was. Matter of fact, Albert Pike knew Helena Blavatsky. When he was an older man, she was a younger woman. Y'all. Family, it's all connected. Darwin, Plato, they're avatars. Family, all this is documented stuff. It all affects and infects our lives. God allows it to separate the wheat and the tares. You see? And he lets you know what's going on. They have to tell you what they're doing before they do it. You just got to know how to look through it. It's the game that we're in. It's not going to change except in the tribulation. We're heading toward that period. Right now, they're trying to fake the tribulations. I mean, it looked like the harp is making all the tribulations come true now. So they're trying to fool people. And these are the folks that claim to be Christian, too. Hagee, Mark Blitz, Copeland, Joyce Myers, at the highest level. And by their own words, betrays them. Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Mason. Copeland, Shuler, Joyce Myers are all Masons. Joyce Myers, Eastern Star. Palin, Council of National Apostles. It just goes and goes and goes when you start connecting dots. Now, when you start saying, well, I like her or I like him, so what? Liking them has nothing to do with what they're doing. And it's time to get serious because they are coming to a time that they're going to hit that first domino. And then they're going to do nothing but fall down, and you're going to wake up one morning, and man, you're in it. You see, how close will you be to God then? You better be close to God now, through Jesus Christ, now, and not wait. Because when it hits, you're not going to be able to say, hey, man, conductor, pull that little cord, stop this train. Well, it don't work that way. Y'all better be ready. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk about modernized paganism. It goes back to Nimrod. Was a pagan. Killed by his uncle. His uncle was Shem. Came off the ark. With Ham and Japheth. Cush. Was the son of Nimrod. Cush was the father of Nimrod. Cush was the son of Ham. And that was the weak link that Satan worked on to bring Nimrod to a Nephilim status, taught him the craft through the fallen angels and witchcraft and so forth, and alchemy, Freemasonry, and then it's passed on, and here we go. Semiramis, the witches, spiritual wars, all that is part of what's going on today. Their machinations are inclusive of the news today. Is there indicators of how far they've gotten? There you go. That's where we are, you see, because pretty much there's a quote that I have that pretty much sums it up. If I can find that quote right quick, like, it tells you about these so-called conspiracies, conspiracy theories. David Spangler, director of Planetary Initiative, United Nations, said, and I quote, no one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation, unquote. Now, family, when it says no one will enter the New World Order, it doesn't mean they're going to let you set up a little log cabin like Abraham Lincoln and live, well, I just don't want to accept it. That's not the way it works. When you reject it, they're going to kill you. You see, there's no getting off the boat. There's no saying, well, I just don't want to do it. Because every conspiracy is simply a step in the outward manifestation of Lucifer's determined rebellion toward God as executed by his human agents. That's what's going on today. And how they've done it is called the Hegelian dialectic to control populations. Myron Fagan said it best, quote, "The idea was that those who direct the overall conspiracy could use the differences in those two so-called ideologies, Marxism, fascism, socialism, versus democracy, capitalism, to enable them, the Illuminati, to divide larger and larger portions of the human race into opposing camps so that they could be armed and then brainwashed into fighting and destroying each other," unquote. And when they get done doing that, there will be a need for peace. We want peace. Well, okay, we can give it to you. It's called the New World Order. That's what's going to be left. And that takes you right back to David Spangler. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless they will take a Luciferian initiation. That's where that comes in. That's what I try to uncover. People don't like to hear it. Well, I can't help that. But this is what's happening. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and then let's get started tonight. And we'll start off with explaining what modernized paganism really is. And then we'll just move right along. I want to show you in their own textbook what they're telling us they're using. Of course, they're counting on few, if any, will even know it's a textbook of the Illuminati. And that anybody's going to read it, and if they do, they won't understand it or believe it anyway. And they're right. Unless you point it out and dissect it. Because I found it and discovered that's exactly what they're doing. Talks all through about Alice Bailey, Spangler, the fallen angels. They call them ascended masters or masters of wisdom, which is questionable for even for the supernatural realm. And let's just get moving. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together at this Revelation Radio Network, Lord, that we're able to broadcast tonight once again on this Monday. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us, Father, the direction to heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your King James Bible, the only true word of God. Father, we thank you for that. That, Father, it tells us what we need to know and what went on and what's going on, Lord, the future. And, Lord, we thank you for this knowledge. Father, we call upon you to bless us. We call upon you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. That, Lord, we lay them before the cross to you. Father, we pray for our awakening, an awakening in this world, awakening in the United States, that, Father, we've been targeted. So many people are deceived. Lord, we need that awakening. We need an awakening of the families, of the even the ones in secret societies, to get out of these secret societies. Protect our troops that's being inundated with psychotropic drugs and these voice-to-skull technologies that's in their heads. Children that's being identified, being abducted for these witchcraft sacrifices. Lord, that this needs to be brought up, Father, because so many people don't know about this. We pray, Father, for discernment and wisdom of the end times events that's coming up to get us through the false preachers and deceptive methods that they're using. Father, grant us that wisdom, discernment. Protect us with the blood of Jesus around us each day as that veil is lifted and thinned out, that, Lord, the day will come when the day of the Lord arrives, that, Father, we'll be ready. These things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, family, to simplify this is a little bit of a challenge. To get right down to it, I don't like to beat around the bush. I like to put as much information out as I can. Quantifiable terms that can be measured, identified, referenced, instead of just a lot of blasé talk and nonsense and just beat around, you know, go around in circles. I can't do that. I don't like it. Now, sometimes it does take me a while to get to the point, I'll admit. But sometimes you just can't write up and just say something. You got to lay the groundwork. There's times when that happens. People these days have debates about God's holy word. That is our instruction manual. It's what's going to keep you out of trouble. And that is only the King James Bible. They keep trying to get rid of it by saying King James was a pedophile, and that's impossible. They have absolutely no evidence. And all the evidence that's written is in his favor. All his letters to his son showed he was his son, by the way. So that means he wasn't a pedophile and he wasn't a homosexual. There's no records of that. All these things started 20 years after his death by G.U.I. Fawkes. Even the Vatican tried to kill him, tried to kill King James, tried to kill the translators with a gunpowder plot. Look it up. He had a son. He gave letters of encouragement to follow God's word, etc. So he wasn't a pedophile, he wasn't homosexual, and he wasn't a Freemason. And the Vatican tried to stop him from authorizing the King James Bible. They tried to kill the translators with a gunpowder plot. So there's a conspiracy going on to stop the production of the King James Bible. They couldn't do it because God's in control. So they tried to end around by different versions of the Bible. That began in 1870. Okay. Well, people try to debate God's word. Fine. Let's do it like this then. You have a big family and you need a job because you lost your last job. You're really good at computers and all this and all that, and you've been through a lot and so forth, but you just don't have time to go to a really important job interview. So I come along, and you say, "Hey, you." And I say, "What?" He says to me, "I have a job interview at Microsoft, and I don't have time to go to it. So can you brief my resume for me? Can you stand in for me in my job interview?" And I say, "What?" He'll say, "I'll pay you $100 if you stand in for my job interview. And here's my resume. Go into Bill Gates and brief my resume and answer all the questions. And here's my cell phone and see if I can get the job." I say, "Sure, give me $100. I go. So I go in and Bill Gates says, "Well, hello, welcome. You want a vaccination?" I'll say, "No, hell no, I don't want no vaccination." And so I sit down for your job interview. And so I stand in for you. Now, can I legitimately sit there and answer questions so you can get a job? And then when you get the job or don't, I'm supposed to tell you, or somebody's going to tell you, "Well, your stand-in didn't do so well. He couldn't answer questions." Are you going to let that happen? No. Why? Why couldn't I stand in for you in a job interview? Because I don't know your life. I don't know your experience. I mean, I don't even know about computers. I don't know the scope of your life. I don't know the scope of computers, but gee, I tried to use your resume, but it didn't work. Well, it's the same thing, sort of, same concept. Mankind does not have the dimensional capacity to debate God's holy word. It's impossible. Until you have the mind of God. Now, you tell me, please, send me an email. I want to meet the person. I'd like to get their autograph and take them out to dinner. If you can tell me somebody in this world, anybody that is up to the level of God, in human form. Tell me who it is. I'd really love to know. Who is it that's so smart in Harvard and Oxford, whatever, that can brief or debate God's holy word? I'd really like to know who that is. What human can stand in for God and debate God with somebody else? That is the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. It's impossible. Unless you have the mind of God, the foresight, the dimensions of God, you can't debate it on any TV, any college, any university, anywhere, anytime as a human being. Angels can't do it. Satan can't do it. Nobody can do it unless you have the absolute mind of God to debate His holy word. You got to know what He's planning, what He has happened. You got to know the whole scope of it. You got to know His inside, His heart. What human being has that? None. So when these professors on YouTube, on TV, an atheist and whoever else, Timbuktu, Elmer Fudd, it don't matter who, starts debating the Bible, like James White debating, all these guys, even theologians that know a little bit about it, know some about it, and smarter than me, you know, their doctorates and all this, it don't matter. Because no human has the mind of God. It's arrogant to think they can debate His holy word. Not possible. As a matter of fact, to show you how impossible that it is, I'm going to give you scripture to show you that God hates that debate. He hates us to debate the word of God. Preach it? Yes. Of what we know. Debate it? That's impossible. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. Those of you who have a King James Bible, turn it to Romans 1:29. Go to Romans 1:29. Hurry. Hurry up. When you go to Romans 1:29, it's talking about sins. And listen to the sins he's talking about, that he hates the sin, not the person. Your Stephen Anderson and James and all these, they ain't got a clue. God don't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. God don't promote killing homosexuals like Stephen Anderson says. They preach hate. KKK stuff on one side. They all work together in one form or another. Some pretending to not agree with each other, but they do. They pervert God's holy word. Christian identity especially. Roman Catholic Church. Seventh-day Adventists. Mormonism. Baptist. Every doggone one of them. All religions at the highest level can be proven. Subvert God's holy word. One extreme to the other. Now, Romans 1:29, he talks about serious, serious sins. Listen. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Oh, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, gossipers. That's just Romans 1:29. You ought to read the rest of them. Can't get no plainer than that. Debate's considered in the same line as murder. Now you tell me whether debating on TV, in colleges, and on these conferences that they're debating God's holy word, what's wrong with these people? Ken Ham, debating, he's not a Christian. They work for each other. They work with each other, so they have a lukewarm debate. Some of them plan on losing. Some of them plan on being stupid looking when they get up there. It downplays God's holy word on purpose. You see? That's some of the tricks they use. Romans 1:29. No debate. Because you can't debate. It's impossible. Not possible. Not carrying somebody to be your to stand in for your job interview with Bill Gates and the computer operations. You just stand in and he pays you $100 to do the job interview for him, and here's your resume. Now go stand in for me and let me know if I get the job. I mean, it's even worse than that. You have to have the mind of God to be able to debate his word. That's impossible. What we know about God is like trying to pour the ocean into a pint cup. It's called dimensional capacity. We don't have it. Comparison. An earthworm to a human. Well, the earthworm does not have the dimensional capacity. A monkey comes close. It's not your relative. But a monkey is a soulish animal, S-O-U-L-I-S-H, as a dog and a cat, they're like companions. Because they have a soul, but no spirit to God. But they got a soul. They have personality. They have character. They think. They have right and wrong, well, not right and wrong morally, but they can be possessed too, by the way. Now, have you ever heard a demon, it'd be a really stupid, dumb demon, to possess a possum? Yeah. Okay. But you're going to find, actually, some of these animals, like Doberman pinschers and all these animals that are predator-type animals, killer-type, are possessed. They can be possessed. A demon wants an inanimate object or an animate object of which to possess to operate in this realm of the universe, which is the first heaven, earth, physical. Second heaven, supernatural, but it's in the universe where the planets and the moons and the sun and all that operates. Oh, they're starting to find out now. You're going to hear it later, but they're starting to come out that the earth does not rotate. They keep changing. Science books every 10 years. When's the King James Bible changed? Not at all in 400. Revisions? No. Editions? Yes. Misspelt words? Yeah, they changed it about 6 times. But it's only editions changing misspelt words, that's all. No revision changes of doctrine whatsoever. Not one. In the Potter's Bible, in 1800s, that was put in by Westcott and Hort, 2 Freemasons. That's what that Bible's all about. It's not the King James either. It's the NIVs and all those other paganized versions of the Bible. All of New King James, NIV, New American Standard Bible, every single one of them. See, all this is connected. So you can't debate God's word unless you have the mind of God. Right now, we ain't got it. Modernized paganism. Modernized paganism.
People actually think
what's that all about? Okay. Modernized paganism. What we going on there? We got some cartoons or something. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Let's see. Modernized paganism. Hold on a second. I got to get something fixed here because, well, now, I found in their Illuminati textbook they list the ways that they've been controlling mankind. They plan. I'll tell you exactly how it is. In their textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Belliaz, on page 305, they talk about the seventh ray, which is called the esoteric teaching, in the field of ceremonial magic and finance. And what they've done in their own textbook is they say the esoteric teaching in the New Age, quote, will be given mainly in the following ways. Quote, through radio and television. Number two, through telepathy. Now, telepathy is simply having a demon attached to you, and they share knowledge that influences your thoughts in three different ways. This is all quantified, family. It's documented. Three different ways. If some of the thoughts and plans that you have that are major, well laid out, comes from them. It falls in like songwriting or like plans for a building or plans for certain plans like science or vaccinations or whatever, different inventions, comes from them. Because you're in a position that they can give it to you, and you're in a position you can make it happen. So they give you those plans. Number two way that they can do this is by influence when you do meditation. And you know that you're receiving knowledge from outside, you don't know from where, but you're being channeled. And you know it's coming from outside, but not you. You use it. Number three is when you do actual possession and you are indwelled with a demonic spirit or avatar. Now, that's three basic ways that telepathy has actually worked. Now, this is what the Pentagon, your Pentagon, America's Pentagon, has weaponized. They have classified projects that bring these things to bear. The Russians, they will go back to the early 1900s. In telepathy, remote viewing, using for military application. You see how that works? So they say here in their own textbook, radio and television, through telepathy, through impression and inspirations, through overshadowing techniques. Overshadowing is when they overshadow you by their demonic possession because you allow it to happen. What does this mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It's called the royal secret of Freemasonry by sodomy, murder, rape, certain abominations done to the body of someone else. A child or a sacrifice, by the one doing it, the portals of their body is open for possession because they're the ones doing it. God pulls away his protective veil around you, and you are possessed because you have conducted this abomination on somebody else. Family, they do this in the Pentagon. This is classified projects. It's how they are indwelled with a demonic spirit for remote viewing. Telepathy. You remember the men who kill ghosts or whatever? They're telling you what they're doing. It's by demonic possession. Men who stare at goats. You thought that was just deliverance, didn't you? But in any case, that's the truth. And they have divas, D-E-V-A-S. They call it disciples. They'll teach men how to see etherically by heightening the human vibration. That's what they're going through. They say that's going to happen, they say, from the evolution of mankind is coming. That's where the Tibetans, that's why they do all the meditation, because they are the ones channeling. Because they, all that's all they do. That's their purpose. It's not just, it's where yoga comes in. That's the purpose of it. Family, I have this documented. Master Moria, he's a fallen angel. Goes back a long time ago. Master Moria, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You have three Obamas that's cloned. He's Egyptian. Bloodline of Akhenaten. And so, don't you recall, about 2-3 years ago, up in Norway, there was a portal opened. And there's a big talk about Obama being up there. Well, one of the Obamas up there, one of the three, was made a channeled, an avatar, through Master Moria, a fallen angel. Boy, I know that sounds crazy, but those that know what I'm talking about, you can go, oh my goodness, because you know what I'm talking about is true. There is a report or history about Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, who's in the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II. Oh, it's a long story. I got that laid out to King Edward IV. Well, when Muhammad, the prophet, was a young child, at 6 years old to seven, he was being trained by the Vatican at that time period. That's true. The Vatican created Islam, for example. Yes, they did in the 6th century. And then along comes little Muhammad after his mother died at 6 years old. And Islam teaches, I've been studying this for a long time, and I can tell you, that Islam teaches that when Muhammad was a small boy, two men in white appeared, laid him down, and opened his breast, and brought forth his heart, took it from the black clot which they cast away. Then they washed the heart with snow, and there was no mark on the chest, and there was a small oval mark on his back which had been there from birth. Now I thought that was strange. That would have happened. But then I found this. Unrelated to that, I discovered in their own textbook, it talks about what Master Moria says. That's a fallen angel cast out of heaven that talked to Alice Bailey. That's confirmed by our own studies. Alice Bailey was a disciple of Helena Blavatsky. 1919 to 1947, she was channeled, and she actually had visits of Master Moria. And that's where she got her 18 books, was just simply plagiarizing, take dictation from Master Moria, fallen angel, and setting up the externalization of the hierarchy, and 17 other books came from him. Well, Master Moria said in his training, relative to this heart thing with that the Muslim teaches about Muhammad, I found this. Quote, the ancients began the teaching by laying their hands upon the heart, whereupon the teacher asked, dost thou hear? I hear, answered the pupil. This is the beating of thy heart, but it's only the first rap upon the gates of the great heart. If thou dost not heed the beat of thy heart, then shall the beat of the great heart stun thee. Unquote. The knowledge was given to Muhammad then by the fallen angels. And Muhammad is in the same bloodline as Ishmael. You know? And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper of how this works. It's quite amazing, actually, when you get into the deepest research on it, and it's all laid out for you, you just got to hunt it down. It's quite amazing, actually, how this has all been processed, planned, laid out from the very beginning. I have the actual objectives of the seven rays that they talk about. I've got the 40 points of plan, the great plan. How to use atomic energy, how to prepare the way for the reappearance of the Christ. Utilize sound and color scientifically to bring about the aligning of the ego. I mean, all kinds of stuff, man. You got 40 of them. To facilitate the solution of the three major problems of the age. You know what those three major problems were? The problem of ideas and their materialization. The problem of God. And the problem of immortality. Yeah, so those demonic beings can have a body that lasts longer. This was given to them in the 1870s. 1901 is their plan. To clean the polluted air, water, and soil all over the earth. So they got to dirty it up to clean it. That's what they brought this about. And to bring about the materialization of the hierarchy upon the physical plane. That's what they're planning on doing. That's called disclosure today. See, they put it in a different way. When you know what's really going on outside of it, it's like, oh, I know what that is. This is what's really happening. And boy, it ain't far off, because they're coming close to taking fruition. Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, David Spangler, Anna Bissett, they all brought this in as channeled by these fallen angels. And there's exactly 66 of them. They have names. They've appeared in Saint Germain. Goes back to the 1700s. And you'll find them to be, in even in the reports of history, rather strange historical figures. Now you know why. Because they were fallen angels. Either channeled, if they had the life force energy, or they were actually had physical bodies. This is what the wars are for. Is so they can have death, destruction. And from that death and destruction, somehow or another, by quantum physics, they gain the physical power to materialize. That's what that's all about. They're setting up so their demons can take physical bodies once again that they lost during the time of the flood. When they saw their creation to be destroyed, saw their children destroy each other. And this is what's going on today. Is they've set it up to where God's children will destroy each other. It is happening, and it's called war. And now it's going to be massive scale. We're using technology. Because they want revenge for what God did to them. Result of the flood. That's the big picture what's happening today. See, and people understand that people don't understand this. And when they don't understand this, you can't make heads or tails of what's really happening today. Why people take sides, why certain projects don't work. They brought together Helena Blavatsky in three stages. Preparatory stage, 1875 to 1890, by Helena Blavatsky, channeled. The second, and they killed her in 1891. She died right after they had used her. Intermediate level was the next stage to bring the New Age movement in. 1919 to 1949, Alice Bailey. When she finished in 1949, they killed her too. She died in 1949. And the third stage and final one was a revelatory stage, emerged after 1975. That's be given on a worldwide scale by the radio. Later TV. And guess who brought that in? Colonel Michael Aquino. He invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975. That's where the I Am God movement came out. What's her name? The TV, I forgot her name. She's an actress that had the movie. She's at the end of it. Shirley MacLaine. And it was at the end of this movie. I forgot the name of the movie. But the guy said, just call yourself God. Then she gets up on the beach and, I am God. Okay, well, fine. Now create me a universe and tell me you're God again. Mm-hmm. Family, they got people so messed up with this nonsense. It's paganistic. It's modernized paganism. It includes all religions and different flavors, movements, and so forth. So, what is it that we call this modern paganism? First of all, it's very clever teaching, doctrine, belief, practiced by people that's been duped and deceived and seduced by the Antichrist spirit. It comes in the form of secret societies called Freemasonry. Goes back to Nimrod. They harness the supernatural, harnesses mankind. Mankind thinks they're harnessing the supernatural. That's not so. How high does it go? Your joint chief of staff, your kings and queens, the ones that put on the robes and do the Bohemian Grove, and I'm not talking about a dance neither. Satanic rituals, where they all play like they're some kind of Dr. Death or something. They sacrifice children as a means of opening up portals. And these are people you'd never even believe, never even think that they would do such things. They do them and not blink an eye. It's nothing more than paganism infiltrating and using Christianity. The very worship of Freemasonry is to the sun god Ra. This is part of what Easter is all about. Easter is not about Jesus. They make it like Jesus to placate Christians. But if you look it up, it's about Ishtar, Isis, ISIS. You thought that was just a terrorist group, didn't you? Not. The very worship of Freemasonry is the sun god Ra. And it's a kind of a mysterious pagan ritual that's very secretive. The beliefs are founded in the Baal, B-A-A-L, Peor worship, P-E-O-R. It's the god of Moloch and other, I don't know, deities. It's mysterious of some kind. They go around there. It's about death and destruction. Family disasters, they create everything from a ship that turns over, kills 200 people, 300, a landslide, now you're getting it, created by a harp, by them, somehow manufactures and produces energy in that place that opens up a portal allowing the demonic entities to come in and possess who they're looking for. These practices of these secret worship comes from pagans of every nation. And you know, Egypt was the target at the very beginning, was kept alive, the mystery schools. Bill Cooper talks very well about these. He gives a lot of good information about that. Egypt's been kept alive, the mysteries to the sun god Ra. And the Freemasons have founded their order, Freemasonry, on these particular principles and practices. 99%, 90, well, say 95% of Freemasons don't have a clue what they're involved in. The rituals, the vows, and obligations are the same as those sworn taken by witches and druids and wizards, or any other worshiper of Satan Lucifer. The Masonic order is very highly organized, to say the very least. It controls governments. So they just don't induct you into the order and let you remain just a member. You have become a very real support to their later religion and their false religion and there's much required of you. That's why they make sure you have a major position they can use. Even if you're nothing but a records clerk, they will use you. This is a Masonic order, uses the same initiation as the initiate, as I said before, that goes through witchcraft or in the Satanist church. They have the same rituals. A little difference, but not a lot. All the worship of the Freemasons is identical except the signature that the pagan and the druid and the witch must be signed with human blood. This is the same ritual that your actors, your singers, your dancers, your songwriters, certain sports stars, not all of them, others in all those fields, the seven I mentioned, literally sign their name in human blood on a contract. John Todd confirms those who were in Star Wars in the 70s could not get a contract to work on the movie set unless they were ordained a witch or a warlock. They would not get a job on the stars on the set movie set of Star Wars back in the 70s. It goes for all of them. Katy Perry said that she gave her life to the devil. All of them have said this. Just examples. They actually sign their name in blood to give their soul to the devil. Literally. Life is in the blood. These initiates, they learn they have obligations. And they reach for degrees of power. They find the requirements first must be kept. And they also learn that they have to keep these rituals and their obligations. But they vowed to keep them secret, and it doesn't matter what the price is. The Mason learns he must prove himself, his ability, and that he must properly apply his skill, his position, his energy, his craftiness, or whatever, before he can go forward and step up. Some cases of politicians in the Illuminati and in the arts field have to identify a family member to die to advance their skills, to advance their movement, or advance their positioning in the Illuminati coven, or whatever you want to call it. Somebody in their family has to die. Then makes them advance. If a goddess gets a Christian to turn because of sin or whatever, she's also elevated. The oath or vow which you take when you become a part of any secret union or order is not only implicates involves you, but includes your family as well, whether it be mother, father, sister, brother, whatever. It obligates every family member. So when you Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus take a blood oath against God, you have implicated your family, no matter what you say. It has been done for four generations. You've cursed your family bloodline. When you do deliverance on somebody, you find out first, like a chiropractor. You know, and a chiropractor, he just don't say, lay down there, I'm going to start popping things. It don't work that way. He says, okay, you ever played football? Yeah, no. You ever taken drugs? You ever played any kind of sports? You ever played? He tries to find out what your activity's been before he starts cracking everything. Well, they kind of do the same thing. When you deliver somebody, you got to know, has anybody been involved in seances? Anybody been involved in tarot card readings? Or has anybody been in Satanism or witchcraft or Freemasons or whatever? And you ask them different questions to find out where they've been, what they've done. You might find out four generations before your great-great-great-grandmother was a witch. You might find out that your great-great-great-grandfather was a Freemason. You might find out that maybe your grandmother started, when she was a child, used a Ouija board. I don't know. But that's how you find out what kind of demon you got to exercise out. It's a process. This is what's really going on. And so, men and women have joined these clubs and orders because their mother and father had influence or prominence. Exodus 20, verse 5. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Tells you right there. They know that too. But the ones doing it don't. They don't look at that scripture. It's an age-old conspiracy against God. So this high council that's in this Masonic order, in Illuminati, they've renounced Jesus as Savior and Lord, and the Declaration of Sovereign Allegiance that's bestowed upon reads, and this is quoted from the Secrets of the Freemasonry. Now, when I say this, there's sodomization and murder, or rape, or whatever they're doing, and then they renounce Jesus Christ, they can be indwelled with a demonic spirit for four generations. They'll carry through one generation to the next. But it says this, allegiance, quote, to you, sovereign grand inspector generals, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degree. Masonic religion should be by all of the initiates of the high degree maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, Jesus, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove his cruelty and hatred of men, barbarism, and repulsions for science, would Adonai and his priests culminate him? Yet Lucifer is God. Thus the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer. Break. See, they show a difference between Lucifer, the good guy, and Satan, the bad guy. It's called a dialectic. Continuing. Quote, the equal of Adonai, Jesus Christ, but Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. So now, when you look at this the first time, this oath they take, the lodge, the Freemason lodge, would appear to be an advantageous thing for you, with all the prestige and the parking places and the promise, getting out tickets and so forth and so on. The flair for being humane. But all of the benevolent societies, Matthew 23:5, but all their works they do for it to be seen of men. They make broad their physiologies and enlarge the borders of their garments. So, this is one of the reasons why many people are lured into this conspiracy that's controlling your lives inextricably. And the very cunning pretext is well, well hidden among people. The initiates are afraid to divulge the real work, and the devil, he's kind of left out to do the filth and corruption that was initiated by him against God and the Son, Jesus Christ, in the first place. Talks about 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? So, another worshiper like Baal. So Satan's instruments, his agents, the Freemasons, Rosicrucians, Illuminati, they kind of lurk behind the scenes to put chains and people in chains of fear. Is that not what's going on today? And these unsuspecting people that's joined the order are put in chains of fear right from the time that they take a blood oath. When somebody said, oh, no, don't worry about it, man, it's just idle words. Well, when you promise and you swear to God that you're going to cut out your tongue, cut your ear from your throat from ear to ear, and throw your intestines over your shoulder, that's pretty weird, isn't it? Oh, that's what it is. And they swear to God to do this. Oh, it's just idle words, the Shriner will tell you. There's no idle words in God's kingdom. Everything you say, you mean. So if you say an idle words, well, it doesn't, it's no such thing as idle words. Look up idle words in the Bible. And they try to go over it, gloss over it. And it doesn't work. So modernized paganism. Oh, here we go. Matthew 12:36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, if you want to misinterpret that and turn around backwards, go on ahead. But that to me sounds pretty clear. And he went out to the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. But the one thing I want you to keep in mind is Matthew 12:36. When that Shriner says, oh, just idle words, it's part of ritual, don't worry about it. And you tell him, well, Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There's no such thing as idle words in God's kingdom. Don't let them fool the wool over your eyes on that one. That's what they try to do. Now, so it tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And Satan uses his instruments of his minions are the agents, the Illuminati, the Rosicrucians, the Freemasons. They're behind scenes that put church chains of fear on everybody, keep the churches in line. They're not using the King James Bible, that the sermons are watered down versions of the truth. And put chains of fear on those unsuspecting people that's joined the order. So there's a lot of people wanting to be free from the accursed order. They don't know how to go about it. They vowed to do this satanic conspiracy and are afraid that if they do not keep their part in the agreement, they will be blackballed in society. Their own lives threatened, plus those of their families. I thought they were a brotherhood, even if you're not in it. And they're not. If you're going to get out, make up an excuse and get out of there. Your Eastern Star members, that's female, adult, Eastern Star, like Palin or Hillary Clinton or some of the others. Oh, yeah. Eastern Star members are wives and daughters, TBN. Almost all of them, like Joyce Myers, are all Eastern Stars. Oh, glory there, all of them. These members are wives and daughters and sisters or widows of Freemasonry. And young girls are brought up and taught the rituals of the Eastern Star and the Rainbow Girls. They're taught the rituals as adults, as their Rainbow Girls, young girls. And young boys are taught the rituals of Freemasonry and Demolé. Billy Bob Clinton was Demolé. See, the devil, the Satan knows about getting you to vow to secrecy in these works of darkness. He has you under his dominion. So you got grown men and women and children all learned in the secret signs, passwords, and hand grips, and vows and rituals are under the bondage of Lucifer. They all know that. The ones that reached a certain level. So what agreement hath you, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 to 18. So, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He gets you 7 days out of the week. Your children, 7 hours out of the day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. So, when people go to church or don't, at least once a week on Sundays, if they go every Sunday, that's just 4 hours a week. Do the math on 7 days a week every month, all day long. You know that false prophets use this pyramid or triangle in their worship, having wisdom, strength, and beauty to represent the support pillars. So the worshippers of the Brahma, B-R-A-H-M-A, I believe. Brahma, not Brahma Bull. But the Brahma and the Hindus also use a triangle. So this emblem has a point to where, when it's used in all satanic voodoo, witchcraft, and every conceivable form of darkness. There are several quotations that's taken from the New Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, if you dig up. But to talk about the pyramid, or the triangle, but specifically the pyramid, guess what? Charles Taze Russell, a link with the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, but also the Christian Identity, with Jehovah's Witness and Seventh-day Adventists, Ellen G. White, there's a connection. But here's the point. The point is, when he was buried, his tombstone was a pyramid. Ellen G. White was a obelisk, the penis of Nimrod, as their burial stones. It's all occultic, every bit of it. Not to be too graphic, but I guess it was. That's what that means. Your national monument in Washington. You know what that signifies? What a joke this is. It signifies the male part of Nimrod. That's what that is, the obelisk. In Rome, in the Vatican, and in the in Washington, D.C., that's the only purpose of it, is to signify the missing body part of Nimrod. No pun intended. You understand this? Easter sunrise service, 100%, and every sunrise service is worshiping the sun god Ra. So when they're sitting out there in the D.C. in Easter, they're all in their little chairs out there, like they're waiting for a concert or something, and they're facing the east. They're looking over the reflective pool. As above, so below, because reflective, that's what that means now. This is not coincidental. And they see the Washington Monument, and then behind it will be the rising sun, and it comes up. They're worshiping the sun god Ra and his Nimrod. This is insane. Now, all those people sit out there, and we watch it on TV, and that's what you're watching. Literally. I'm not making fun of it. I am not being frivolous. I'm not being superstitious. This is exactly the reason why they're out there, sunrise service. As a seaman come up, there you go. That's exactly, this is not a tabloid. This is the reason. It's a ritual. How many people really know this ritual? It gives them power to worship that day. This is significant. In divine union, every man, however unconscious to himself, in search of a union with God in some way, every moment of his life is nagging. Climb the mountain Everest to find out who God is. Who am I? And who's God? Where's God at? And so forth and so on. If only because it's unescapable in search of the proper end of being. It gets philosophical here. Because including the beatitudes, which it connotes, the mystical state is a finality, alike by hypotheses and experience. You have what's called a divine quest. It's not a video game. The search after God is the only business of religion. But they direct it. All religions, they direct it. Being a Christian, born-again Christian, is not about religion. Religion has doctrines, dogma, controls, regulations. That's not about the Bible. You have the Ten Commandments, but man adds to it. On the possibility and actuality of such attainment, religion is based, and hence it's a science of experience. That's what it's for, all along. What it does, it conveys as such the certitude of kinship with the divine. We don't really need it today. It's not to be proposed to offer a new definition of religion, because religion is corrupt. All religion is corrupt, especially the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholics are going to find out later, unfortunately, for them, because they will be horrified. The work of attainment, much less is a, well, attaining is kind of a consideration of the word, its meaning from the standpoint of using philosophy. It's the attainment of that state in which we no longer walk by faith, but sight also. You know, when you think back and look at it, it might be extremely difficult to speak of it in new terms. Or, well, those which we would have a symbiont of nobility. But you know, I kind of doubt whether it's desirable. On the contrary, actually, it may be to realize more vitally by using forms of expression that are, well, comparatively at least familiar. So, an old, encompassing, and always suggestive phrase that's being used, practical religion, which is paganized, is a life which comes in time to know with a doctrine. It's a glory of righteousness and the life and beyond that they don't talk about much anymore. Of Armageddon to the thousand-year millennium. The end is kind of comparable to eternal rest of Buddha. But you'll find Buddha's bones, but you won't find Buddha. It's a knowledge of unity, which, according to Krishna, Krishna is one of the seven that's going to fill the spot of the new of the Antichrist, or the false prophet. In other words, Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet, will fill the shoes of Krishna, the Christ, Lord Maitreya, Imam Mahdi, Prince of Peace, the Kalki Avatar. You fill all those spaces in one. It's kind of the knowledge of unity, which, when you get according to Krishna, from their perspective, is above wisdom, It's a kind of a sapphic union of the lover and the beloved. It's a sense of epiphany, of Pythagoras, the vision from above. Well, what's it to say is the manifestation at the very center. It's eternal repose, the essence apart from mode. All your inward spirits have chosen above and before all things the goals of their desire. And that is the attainment of the kingdom of God that everybody wants. But that all ain't going to get, because that path is narrow. So, in this case, the truth had been made into a lie. Because Sir Francis Newton compared himself to a child of great ocean. For these reasons, quote, it's right that we should call it a thing mystical, that is to say, concealed and hidden. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I've commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. He is clear as a bell. Even in, that's the Old Testament. Now go fast forward, New Testament, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Same thing. Show a little continuity there. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So, when you get to these modernized paganism, modernized paganistic values and ways, festivals and ceremonies, you can't, when you see what they wear and what's going on there, it's like Woodstock on steroids. You can hardly mistake their real belief. I mean, actually, where else would you ever see such an out-and-out deliberate defiance against God and what he stands for? Do you not see this more often now than ever? But be not deceived, brethren, because God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, verse 7. They can play around for a while. God's going to let it because he wants the last one to say, I accept Jesus as Savior. He knows that's the last one because he knows the future. Satan don't. When that last person says, I accept Jesus, woo, Katie, bar the door. Cannonball 99's coming down. First seal will be broken. Man of sin will be revealed. The falling away will happen. And boy, we in it. Not yet. Not yet is it. But very soon because of the signs of the time. Time of sorrows. It's not happened yet. They're falsifying them. Oh, but we're close. We're very close. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Luke 8, verse 17. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. But what did he say in Matthew 23, 13 and 15? What happened? But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense makes long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when it's made, ye make him, I have told, more the child of hell than yourselves. More than twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. Luke 10:18, Luke 18:17, Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Luke 8:17. Ephesians 5:11-12. In Matthew 23:13-15. You know, this order is always looking for candidates that's going to help them. Those who show high drives, those in the sciences, those who seek social acceptance, success in the world, or bullied, or whatever. The order is Satan's induction center to pull them in for their skills. It's amazing how that Bible tells you everything you need to know. That's exactly why they're trying to get you away from it. Exactly why. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing but whatsoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind. For whether it greater than gold, or the temple that is sanctified with the gold, whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. Whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon him, he is guilty. You tools and blind, you fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift of the altar that sanctifies the spirit? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and all things thereon. Whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. So woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithing of mint and anise, nice and cumin, have omitted the weightier matters of this law. Judgment, mercy, and faith, these ought yet to have done, and not leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make the clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is written, the cup and platter. And the outside of them may be clean also. And woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you liken to the white scepters, and which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all of uncleanness. All through here, he just nails the churches. Matthew 23:16-36. Now, you know, in street gangs, they've got signs, hand signs, secret passwords. Heck, you had that when you were 6 years old and keep the girls out, right? Or neighborhoods, you boys, you didn't want coming in there. So you had little signs and so forth. Well, the Masons do too. And universal symbols, which are pretty characteristic of the emblematic Freemasonry, the pentagram. After all, the American flag has 50 pentagrams on it. Hexagram, after all, is the Jews' sign, and it's the hexagram or the Star of David. That's what that is, really. The candlesticks, the menorah, is the actual Hebrew Jews' symbol, not the hexagram, Crest of Solomon, what's called also the Star or the Shield of David, Greater Crest of Solomon. So the all-seeing eye, the pyramid, the point within the circle, the cubic stone, the sun and the moon and the blazing star, is used to open up portals using alchemy. This hexagram is known as the Star of David, Crest of Solomon. The emblem is one of the most potent symbols used in the working of the power of darkness. It also produces influences in the rituals and sacrifices for power. When they have a child or whatever they're murdering, this symbol is used to increase the power. It's a blood sacrifice. It's a symbol pretty much used in the work of magic, the conjuring of forces. And magic is simply tasking out the entities. And these entities hypnotize, seduce for mind control. See how that works? Do you think in that movie, the allegedly true story, I can see it happening, men who stare at goats, and then they stare at the goat, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the goat just up and dies, like kicks its feet a couple times and croaks. This is a detail of a demon working with these soldiers, making it look like it's them. Look what I can do, Mama. But actually, they're just possessed. So your pentagram, which we've got 50 of them on our flag, by the way, that's what it's for, is used by fortune tellers, astrologers, psychics, witches, wizards, magicians, people working divination or conjuring up demons, the use of stars as well. Pentagram with a badge around it is Masonic insignia. Hexagram, Star of David, Crest of Solomon, is used for its ritual. It's used for power. Salt is very important for the cult to use salt. That's why the Mormons were up there in Utah. Salt flats. That's the purpose. The fallen angels and the witches, they want that salt flat awful bad. Because the rituals they do with the salt is very powerful in the occult. This hexagram is a symbol that's used in the work of magic, conjuring up of forces or entities. Now you know where the 200 million is going to come from. And they hypnotize, seduce. So evil spirits gather in force at the summons of the person working the hex. That's what it is. Now, you have over top of it in some symbols a bee. Well, that represents Babel. But you've been born in the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chun, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Amos 5, verse 26. How come Hagee don't know this? Oh, well. Then you got the cubic stone. We're kind of bumping up here. Because a cubic stone, cubic, C-U-B-I-C, is with the checkerboards. So your stars and pyramids and working tools is highly symbolic. The black and white checkerboard. Where do you see that from? Would it happen to be referees at a football match? Yeah. Would it happen to be the finishing flag of a 500, Blue Star 500 Speedway or something, right? They finish it a checkered flag. In movies, you got checkered movies. And they also, they also make sure when they take, you know, pre-shots of movies or, camera for the posters, they make sure they got a chemtrail stuck in there somewhere. If they don't, they'll manufacture one to make it look like it's normal. Oh, these people are tricky, man. They are tricky. So this cubic stone with checkerboards that I'm talking about, stars and pyramids and working together, and very symbolic because it's reflected directly from the tree of life and Kabbalism, working of bewitchment through numbers. Then you got the evil eye and the pyramid or triangle. Liberalists. Kind of to build a religion. Everybody just starts a religion. Doug Dynasty. Now showing, certainly, they're not Christian. They're writing a Bible in October next year. They can't do that. But they're going to do it. No way they got the Holy Spirit. Not possible. Unless they renounce what they're doing and report that they're not going to do it. It was the wrong thing it's going to plan to do, but God ain't going to stand for it. Your Bundys, also frauds. Doug Dynasty, also frauds for their own Bible. Family, it's starting to show up and come out in the open. Bundy's Illuminati anyway. They want to see where everybody's head's at. They want to see if you're going to rise up and defend the Constitution and all that stuff. The Constitution has been dead, null, and void in the 1860s. So the select order, the liberalists, they build a religion which is based on mystic worship, on the mysteries of the scriptures, because they don't know. They're in control of the eye of Lucifer, and they believe that they're the chosen of Satan to control the finances of the world. And not a Jew among them. May have one or two, but that's about it. This mark that they have is a currency of the United States. It declares the world at the eye of Lucifer over the world finances. Saint Germain handles this. As above, so below. And that symbol they have with a pyramid, a big old eye in the middle of it, and a G on the top of it. Sun God Ra, and he gives the wisdom to the financial wizards who control the commercial financial systems. So the symbol is one of the most potent in the power of divination. Hexes and curses and psychic control, and every corruption conceivable is worked through this emblem. The G overlong represents geometry. Then they tell them it represents God. Then they sell it represents the Gnostics. Depends what layer of the onion you've jumped into. The rosy cross is the red cross formed by the Rothschilds. Kind of find those Hebrew Jews also control the once they get a sample of your blood, it goes into a data bank, and they can find you anywhere in the world by your signature from the satellites because of the blood you gave. And microchips enhances it. Look up 7,800 lawsuits against DOD and CIA for septal, that's nose, implants of military personnel that's gotten out. The Red Cross is a symbol of order within Freemasonry. And it's looking for that point of origin and union between all religions. The Rosy Cross, which is Ron Paul, is a member of the Rosy Cross. Symbol of the Rosicrucian, which is devoted to the practical application of an occult philosophy, and that is to human affairs. These symbols are massive. It would do you to study them because your kids are going to come home with them on their t-shirts, emblems, rings, and so forth, and they carry with it a curse. That's actually what it is. And it works. Things start happening in your house, unusual-like. Your kids turn bad on you. Arguments increase. Clothes change, lipstick changes, the boys get more radical. color of their hair, all kinds of weird things starts happening is when your family is possessed. Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, get ready. So what can the person do who's become seduced in this false religion? Well, God's made the way for anyone to come to Him for forgiveness, salvation, by the very work done on Calvary. This was through the only begotten Son of the Father. This man is Christ Jesus, nobody else. He's always ready to forgive and forget what were once His enemies. We were at one time. So by not attending the functions and meetings and no longer paying dues to these orders does not destroy the oath or vows made. There is one way, and that's through Christ Jesus and His shed blood on the cross. That's how you do it. Repent. Repent and ask God to forgive you from ever becoming or incidentally or deliberately a part of the false religion. God's mercy endures from generation to generation. And as 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the answer. You cleanse yourself by putting the blood of Jesus between you and the abominable doctrine. And you renounce the occult. You may lose your favorite parking place. You may be blackballed. But you get an idea that the eternity is a long time. And if Jesus works inside you, you won't be doing a lot of this stuff. He always leaves one thorn in your side to keep you honest, keep you controlled. Not controlled, but repentant. So you don't get too confident. Because then you start losing and Satan's going to get you. This is exactly what's going on today. Cleanse yourself by putting the blood of Jesus between you and the abominable doctrine. Renounce the occult. Renounce the order and any of its agents. Denounce Satan and all the agents of hell. And you ask God to nullify and make void all statements that you've sworn, vows, cursed, or whatever. Ask the Lord to break every oath made verbally or written, and the blood of Jesus, when applied by the believer, will destroy this curse from you and break its power to do anything to you or your seed forever. That's how you break the fourth generational curse. You destroy all the documents and treaties and Bibles and aprons, swords and ribbons and all this stuff, emblems, images, the idols, anything with a design, emblem, or insignia. Do not discard, but you have to destroy them. For they come with it, a demonic realm. He says, neither shall thou bring an abomination to thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it. For it is a cursed thing. Deuteronomy 7, verse 20. So you cleanse yourself, as well as your home or any adjacent buildings or shops or offices, garages, automobiles, safety deposit boxes, whatever you have frequently or you have some attachment to, you can cleanse it. You destroy anything used or associated in any way with this ungodly organization. Burn the items which can be burned. Crush and grind into fine powder those which can be crushed. Melt items which must be melted. And either bury the remains in the depths of the earth or cast into the sea. So all the while, you apply the precious blood of Jesus. And you declare to Satan that the blood of Jesus destroys to the uttermost. This must be done. But don't be intimidated by those outside that's going to disrupt you. Or from the devil himself. Renounce him, Satan, openly. And let it be known that you've come out of the dark and that secret pit of Satan. Renounce your vows. Trust in the Lord Jesus to preserve and protect you. Psalms 121, verse 3 to 4. The Lord has promised us that he will keep us and is ever faithful. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Our God whom we serve, in Daniel 3:17, is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. Someone asked me the other day on curses, family curses. And you know, although you may not have taken the oath, but a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, and preceding generations have vowed these obligations, then you, the individual, seeking freedom from bondage of this curse, you've got to renounce the ungodly order and ask God to forgive you and to forgive whoever belonged to the order. In 1 John 1, verse 9. And here the blood of Jesus breaks that curse, and that curse that comes down from generation to generation, you'll find that in Exodus 20, verse 5. If you've acquired any possession from your ancestors, which are connected with this association, and that with the order, destroy them, following the steps of the preceding page. I've just told you. And ye shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. That page in the Bible is what you want to know. Well, family, we're coming down to it here. Actually, I covered what I was going to cover tonight, and there's still some left. But I got 3 minutes to go. Now, tomorrow, 4 to 6, I'm going to talk about globalism and how they're pulling this through. Today, we covered quite a bit to start off with. And tomorrow, 4 to 6, on watchmanforjesus.com. Watchmanforjesus.com is my website, and I'll be on there 4 o'clock to 6 Eastern Standard Time. At night time, 7:30 to 9, is Bible study. I hit the ground running again. It's the same place, watchmanforjesus.com. I've got a website that you can access it, which you probably already know, watchmanforjesus.com. And then I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. I got archives on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. You can listen to the other broadcasts, and they're all labeled. So you can go forward and do it. So, family, I appreciate y'all coming by. I got 1 minute and 20 seconds to go. And we'll be back next Monday. I've been thinking about different hours, but I haven't made a decision yet. I'm just going to leave things kind of the way they are to see how things work out and all. But in any case, next Monday, 9 to 11, here in Revelation Radio Network. And then tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on my website, watchmanforjesus.com. And then tomorrow night, 7:30 to 9. And then from then on, Tuesday to Friday, is Bible study at night, broadcast 4 to 6, Tuesday to Friday. So, y'all join us over there. Thank you all for coming. Anytime now, it's going to shut down. That's the way Blog Talk Radio is. And here we go. Have a great night.